I'm very happy now to welcome back to the program Marielle Nanasi. She is the Executive Director of New Energy Economy. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Hello, Mary Charlotte.
Great to have you. Now, you've got an exciting event coming up the day after Election Day, Wednesday, the 7th of November. What's happening?
At 4 o'clock, all of your listeners are welcome to join us for a green ribbon cutting celebration.
Green ribbon.
Isn't that nice?
That's very cute.
At the Santa Fe fire station on Cerrillos Road. It's actually the largest fire station in Santa Fe. And basically, the way it came about is that the city of Santa Fe actually has quite a bit of solar on their system, but most of it is hidden because it's located in the historic district, and there are the requirements that people can't see the solar panels. And I wanted to generate a public education and awareness campaign that solar actually works and that we could expose the vision of what is possible. And the reason I wanted to pick the fire station is because the firefighters have our back. They are on the front lines of climate change. And as you all may know, is we've had the largest wildfires in New Mexico's history back to back last year and the year before. And so one of the things is we want to support our firefighters. The other thing is we want to make the connection. You know, there's been a lot about connecting the dots between climate disruption. We could no longer call it climate change. We have to call it climate changed with a D on the end. And we all
climate
know.
Climate changing.
Climate changing, but also disrupting and the devastating consequences. So because of the burning of fossil fuels, we have changed the Earth's atmosphere, and that's causing all sorts of things like we see Hurricane Sandy. I mean, the devastation's been outrageous. We're talking about billions of dollars of worth of destruction. We're talking about somewhere, I think, around 8 million people without electricity. People haven't been able to go to work. And, you know, nuclear power plants are threatened that they are going to release radiation. So this is extremely serious and we have to pay attention. And the world is, we must respond to the climate change that we've had out there. And frankly, I don't think that we've made the transition. And what we need to do is make the transition here from the burning of fossil fuels to clean energy. And that's renewable energy.
And you do it one step at a time. I mean, you can have gigantic, massive civic projects, but what we're doing here in the absence of massive political will is one fire station at a time.
Exactly. I mean, still there are people that think, does solar really work? And if I want to go turn on my computer, will it turn on if I have solar panels on my house? And the answer is yes. And one of the reasons why we chose this fire station, it's on Cerrillos Road at 1751 Cerrillos Road.
Right near 3rd Street.
Right near 3rd Street is because it's on the most highly trafficked road in the city. And so that's part of it. And guess who goes and visits the fire station? School children.
Right.
And we want them to grow up in the world where renewable energy is, you know, is what produces our electricity.
Now, the solar panels on the fire station on Cerrillos Road, what are those panels going to be powering?
They're going to be powering the fire station.
Everything. So basically all the electricity and all the heat and all the air conditioning.
Just the electricity.
Okay.
And, you know, this is where firefighters live for 24 hours a day. And so they use a lot of electricity at that fire station, actually. You know, I just want people to know something. People think that we get a lot of our electricity right now from solar and wind. The fact is that 60% of our electricity comes from burning coal in the Four Corners. And this is a really important fact because we need to transition away and shutter those coal units. And I mean, it's something that New Energy Economy is working on, opposing PNM's plan to continue running that plant and those units. And so we do that. We oppose them. And we also have replicable community projects that we want to show. And as I said before, expose the vision of what's possible.
So replicable means you do it on the fire station, you can do it on any fire station.
Not only on any fire station, but it's so great because we made this partnership with the city of Santa Fe and the Santa Fe Fire Department, and already the county has said, we want to partner with you. What about a senior center? Or, you know, and so it's already, it's having the effect that that we wanted. And it's really, so far, it's about funding. And if I could just say one thing about funding, we have two Santa Fe High School students, interns at New Energy Economy, and they really have raised almost all the funds for this solar project. It's quite amazing. And they partnered with a number of businesses downtown, including we had four area restaurants host a feast for the fire station nights, and they donated their proceeds to solarizing the fire station.
Nice.
Yeah, and they were Moodoo Noodles, Il Vicino, Counter Culture Cafe, and Tecolote. And Baskin Robbins is going to be donating all the ice cream that's free on November 7th at 4 o'clock, which is Wednesday. And guess what? They're giving us mint, cool ice cream.
Aw. Which is also green.
Which is also green. So that's just been a really great thing. And what I'm saying is that we're building through this, through these students going out and raising money and having these evenings at, with the restaurants. It's really like a community engaged project. And I think that building resilient communities is exactly what we're going to need as climate disruption becomes the new normal.
I think there's a very interesting thing when you say firefighters really get climate change because they're the ones who have to go out there and fight wildfires, and what the types of wildfires that we have been seeing are indeed predicted by all the climate change models, as are hurricanes and storms of increased extremity. And as you know, it's any scientist will say, well, any one storm, you can't prove that storm is a result of climate change, but when there's a trend of a bunch of them, you can really pretty much draw that conclusion. The other folks who are at the cutting edge of this are insurance companies. They
Absolutely.
Get it.
Mm-hmm. They do get it. Swiss Re has put out, they are probably the leading insurance agency that has really dealt with climate because they are insuring people for all these losses
right.
that are happening, whether they are, as you say, from floods or fires. James Hansen, who people call the Paul Revere of climate change, he just issued a new report about 1 month ago. And in it, it says that now the warming trends that have happened, I mean, last summer was the warmest summer on record in the United States. And basically, there was no winter in the United States last year, which is pretty scary. And that is about moisture. It's about, and of course, drought, which we're seeing all sorts of rippling effects in agriculture. The prices of food are going up. The prices of...
What do you mean when you say no winter? I mean, I remember it was awfully cold last winter.
Well, there was very little moisture. And in some places, there was no winter. I mean, I think it was the warmest Chicago in history.
Yeah.
There was virtually no snow on the East Coast. Now, that affects all sorts of things from, again, agriculture, but even to skiing, right?
Right.
So people are really... you know, feeling the effects of this economically as well. And James Hansen said, now we can't, it's almost, you know, before what you just said is one incident can't say, we can't say from one incident that, oh, this is a result of climate change. But he said that if you look at the trend just in the last 50 years, he says it's almost now, and this is a peer-reviewed article, it says it's almost impossible now to say that it's not a result
right.
of a change in climate and of global warming.
And of the human-caused change in climate by putting all these heat-trapping gases into the atmosphere.
And what is the number one thing that he says? We've got to stop the burning of fossil fuels. And if, you know, there are some predictions out there that if we don't stop burning fossil fuels within the next 15 years, humanity will not be able to survive on this planet within the next 100. So this is extremely serious business. And we need to be ramping up renewable energy.
And doing as much research and development as possible on this, and doing as much energy storage as we've talked about as possible, and doing as much basically political incentive and social incentive to put these things in.
Yeah, and you saw, I'm sure a lot of your listeners have recently seen Governor Christie on the television, and he has been, I think, very moving because of the devastation. And I think, I'm hoping that this will be a wake-up call. 50 million people were impacted by this. And so I'm hoping that President Obama wins again and doesn't tell the American populace to go shopping, but that says, hey, we got to take this on. We got to prevent the worst impacts, and we got to do it now. And we can do it, and it will put people back to work, and it will create a healthier economy and a sustainable economy for all of us.
Mariel Nanasi is Executive Director of New Energy Economy and, once again, the green ribbon cutting at the fire station on Cerrillos Road near 3rd Street is on Wednesday, the day after Election Day, the 7th of November at 4 in the afternoon, complete with ice cream.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for being with us. I'm very happy now to welcome to the program Gabe Gomez. He is a poet. His new collection of poems is called The Seed Bank. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thanks for having me.
Now, you will be speaking this coming Monday, the 5th of November at 6 o'clock at Collected Works Bookstore. Let's talk about the title, The Seed Bank.
Sure.
Seed is such a rich metaphor.
It is, and I think that, there are few sources for the title, but namely, I was watching, I think it was 60 Minutes, and there was a segment of it on a seed bank, and the primary function of, I guess, a seed bank is obviously to preserve certain strains of seed of course leading to crops and different kinds of foods and pollens and all sorts of other different things, but
and to prevent extinction of certain,
and that's where I'm going. That's exactly it. To me, the idea of really preserving these seeds in the event that either Mother Nature or ourselves, that we destroy ourselves, this is where we'll go to start again. And to me, it was a very powerful image and thing to contemplate. So for the last, I would say, I've been writing this book. I wrote this book. It took me, I think, about 5 years. Really taking that emotion, really, of what do you choose to start over,
right?
And like, what exactly are the things that you decide upon that will again just start anew? And so, I think if we all contemplated on that, it would take you all kinds of different places. And for me, it developed into this sequence of poems.
I think. I have often thought that if I were responsible for recreating Western civilization after a disaster, it would be really bad.
Some bad. Well, there's a lot more things that I cut out in the book than put in.
Well, I mean, what I mean is, there's what any one of us actually knows is so fragmentary.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And, really piecing together. I mean, thinking of this is if when you're starting from a new place, you're really depending on memory, right? And so, what else is more fragmented than your own memories,
right?
Or more biased or more tainted or more spliced together. And so it becomes a really almost frightening thing to think about. I think really to, what is that thing that I will take with me, that I will, or even now, not necessarily having to rebuild anything, but just to wake up the next day and say, like, what am I, going to be today?
You've got a great quotation about memory at the beginning of the book, Walter Benjamin.
Yeah. And I thought it was, that was a piece that, that I thought really captured the spirit of the poem. And I should probably backtrack and say that, as the second collection of my, my second book, essentially, this was written after, my wife and I went through Hurricane Katrina. you know, and essentially why we ended up living in Santa Fe in a sort of roundabout way. But really,
you were in New Orleans.
We were in New Orleans, and my first book, The Outer Bands, was essentially a chronicle of that time. And so, when we came out, the, you know, the other end, and which is essentially 2006, when we made the decision to move to Santa Fe.
When you, we an inland.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, where does it not fly? So, and you know, we're both graduates of the College of Santa Fe, and so we knew it well. And so many friends here. And so we decided that this was the right place to begin to start anew. And so it, in a way, this idea, this Ben Kamin quote where he says, memory is not an instrument for exploring the past, but it's theater. To me, it's that thing, that instrument, that very tactile thing. So for me, writing this book, it really began in the summer of 2006. My wife and I were in the south of France. We decided to sort of decompress a little bit and really gather ourselves away from what we had just experienced in New Orleans. And so we were there for 3 weeks. We rented a little house, and the poem, the long poem in the back of the book, that's where the book began. So that's where the journey began, at least.
One of the things that I'm struck by is the coexistence in your poetry of focus on the natural world and focus on language itself, and the kind of intermixing of those two things all the time.
You know, I'm bilingual in that Spanish is really my first language. You know, I lived in Mexico for 3 years, the first 3 years of my life, where my parents were from, and you know, coming, you know, learning the English language and really existing still very much in the mindset of a Spanish speaker. I've, like, for instance, I've never had an English conversation with my dad, you know,
right?
And the entire time that I've been alive, and so to me, language is very much an important, not only important, but I think it's very much alive in the way I look at it in the written form, I should say, and going through two, you know, creative writing programs that I've done, you know, you're put in this position where you look at language, you have to look at language very, very closely, if you're looking at the mechanics of it, or if you're looking at sort of the you know, various rhetorical uses or whatever, or you're looking at it in poetic forms or whatever it is, you have to look at it from all kinds of angles. And to me, those things of how, again, language begins, or how can we match that, those words or the memory with those words.
When you're looking at the natural world, do you see it differently if you're thinking in English versus in Spanish?
Well, it depends on where I am. I think why I choose to, or why we essentially decided to come back to the Southwest, is that here I can coexist in a way. You know, I'm from the desert. You know, my entire life has been the majority of it spent in the Southwest, and I can, you know, this is I can look at it in those two terms, in those two kinds of ideas, in a way. You know, I look at language as a kind of idea that I sort of, you just kind of work through, and the sort of the idea of the natural world just fits in there. So my interpretation of how I make sense of it, of how I sort of fit it into poems, you know, it's kind of, in a way, it's two people looking at it at once. I use the you and the I and the me, and I'm having these conversations with myself and talking to myself within these poems quite a bit. And it's really the sort of the Spanish speaker, the English speaker, the, you know, 12-year-old kid, whatever it is, there's always that conversation. It always begins with that conversation. And because a large part of my life has been, you know, in that Spanish conversation and that English conversation, you know, so it's sort of, again, it kind of, it fits both ways.
We're talking to poet Gabe Gomez. Would you like to read a poem from your new book, The Seed Bank?
Sure, I'd love to. I'll read a title poem, which is a little deceiving in that I have two poems called The Seed Bank, which I can explain later, but I'll read the poem first.
Okay. That.
It will begin again with a Latin. Our jowls slowing before the approach of impregnable muscular signatures roiled with genus and soil, a city that inexplicably shades extinguishes its color in a deafening instant. Voices set into affected time and timbre. Onto its crisp pages we crawl, assume the slight lines and slopes and curvatures of letters, envelopes of waiting seed, yield an epistolary of vine and gerund. Then in the wake of the event there are conflicting points, proximity and memoir, themes and root strands, lining up in succession, shiny dimes for rain or bifurcated palm, an inventory before a savage and sudden creation. Bitter leaves break the sediment resting in the sun. They write in the broken English of immigrants. They write without ciphers or faces or diasporas. They stare up to their hands from the cold paper, where a clutch of nouns ignite. At the moment, remember the hybrid air inside the seed bank. The gaze of Manet's Olympia blooms. Two cities rise in unison, no hyperbole, mere humidity. Short sentence river, words and ingredients, your voice wants it to stop. Reassemble, return familiar glances, make familiar sound. I will correct you. Know every muscle. Know that it's true.
And that is the title poem, The Seed Bank, by Gabe Gomez. Do you write also in Spanish?
You know, I tried that for a while, and it never quite worked out.
Really?
Yeah. You know, it just didn't. It was funny. It was almost, because it's my first language, it ironically, it never felt natural to write in Spanish. So to me, it's always been a very, it's almost like I'm existing in this kind of constant oral history of myself, right? You know, it didn't have the same impact. And the other thing I noticed when I was writing in Spanish, I tended to really yield towards the sort of the hyperbole, the sort of romantic version of it. You know, it really leaned on that memory of, you know, well, the Spanish and all that kind of stuff. And I'm like, that's not me.
Yeah.
Right? You know,
it's a lot of music and poetic tradition,
right,
in that language.
Yeah. And I just sounded like a mariachi or something, you know, and it was just incredulous. I was just like, that's not going to happen. And to me, I listen to a lot of Spanish music, a lot of Norteña music specifically. I grew up with that. And so, so the folk music, I'll listen to it. And I think it's, if I do, I'll really work towards that kind of that simple line, and that simple idea, and to me it's not there yet.
Gabe Gomez is a poet. His new book is The Seed Bank, and once again on Monday, the 5th of November, he will be at Collected Works Bookstore in Santa Fe, reading and signing books. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
And I'd like now to welcome Rob DeWalt. He is with the Pasa Tiempo Friday Arts Magazine in the Santa Fe, New Mexico. He's with us many Fridays speaking of the arts. Welcome.
Good morning. How are you?
Oh, getting over something.
Yeah. Me too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I went to the El Dorado Community School Halloween party last weekend, and it was really awesome. I had a really scary haunted house.
Haunted house.
And then
scary
then,
fun house.
Yeah.
That's bad.
And I took home some popcorn and some germs.
Yes. Children will do that to you.
Yeah. But that's okay. That's okay. We do it for the children.
Yep. For their immune systems and ours.
Exactly.
So, what is happening? Should I start with the kitty of the week?
You should start with the kitty of the week. I have no dog of the week, but...
I know. Nobody ever sends us a dog of the week, ladies and gentlemen. You can send us a dog of the week if you want. Okay, Felines and Friends is a cat rescue and placement organization, and this week's featured cat is Jim. He's a playful, charming, handsome young man with a short coat and brown tabby markings. If you would like to adopt him or any other nice kitty that they have, and they've got a lot of them, call 505-316-2281 or go to fandfnm.org, Felines and Friends, New Mexico.
FNF.org?
FNFNM.
FNFNM.org.
Yep.
Say that 20 times fast. So, I don't know. We got, like, what, 4 days left before Election Day?
I know. I voted early.
I did, too. I couldn't stand it anymore.
I know.
You know? It's supposed to give you permission to turn off everything and not even, you know, pay attention. But it's just humanly impossible with how everybody is wired these days.
I know. Well, and the thing is, it's as if the entire rest of the planet Earth had ceased to exist outside of political polls.
Uh-huh. That's true.
Which, in fact, it hasn't.
I know.
There are countries rising and falling, and there are floods and fires, and there are things happening besides the polls.
But there are cats that need adopting.
For example. And there are events at Collected Works Bookstore.
Yes. Such as? Do you want to look at that for a second?
No, you go ahead. I'll find that in a moment.
Well, I'll tell you that today's issue of Pasa Tiempo is just simply called Vote. And it's kind of a celebration of the vote. We don't take sides.
Nice.
But there's some great stories on campaign posters, campaign songs. And there's a great story about an exhibit at William and Joseph Gallery called Vote. And it's a group show. I think there's like 13 or 14 artists who are participating. And they were all asked to create a work of art that was 16 by 16 inches. And each piece is $508 because that's when 508 BC is apparently when the idea of democracy first started getting really popular in Athens. So anyway, there's a story in today's Pasa Tiempo, and I basically asked a bunch of artists to talk about what they think it means to vote and if they remember their first voting experience. Anyway, it's fairly inspirational. The cover image is gorgeous, and there's a story on page 32. But this is basically, this is the vote issue. This is just
excellent.
To inspire, not to
lead.
Yes.
All right. Well, so the 4th of... When is the 4th? Is that Sunday?
That's Sunday, yeah.
Okay.
All day.
Illustrator David Gardner's new book, Sarah Gives Thanks, How Thanksgiving Became a National Holiday, tells the story of Sarah Joseph Hale, commonly known as the author of Mary Had a Little Lamb, and it recounts the history of Thanksgiving, and it's beautifully illustrated, and it's a read-aloud thing for young and not-so-young, and it's about 19th century America.
Sweet.
And that is happening on Sunday at 3 in the afternoon. And then also on Sunday at 11 in the morning, Journey Santa Fe announced is having Green Party member Rick Lass at Collected Works.
Oh, cool.
And he will discuss voter purge, voter registration deadlines, and the work of the ACLU, and all of that at the wonderful Collected Works bookstore. Oh, and Kay Miller has a new book, Jews of the Wild West, a multicultural true story. Members of the Staub family leave Germany and settle in New Mexico, and Julia Staub has a scary encounter with Billy the Kid. And Dirk Wales has a new book, The Giraffe Who Walked Paris. And I think all of those things are happening, except for Rick Lass, the three authors are on Sunday at 3 in the afternoon.
Neato. Well, there's more books. Dance and American Art, A Long Embrace, a great book, a lecture by art historian and curator Sharon Udall. And there's a book signing that follows tonight at St. Francis Auditorium.
Yes.
And I believe that starts around 5:30 p.m. There's a story in today's Pasa Tiempo. Also tonight, this is going to be really gnarly, bro. I think my partner and I are going to do this. We're going to drive. I don't ski, but I really support the adaptive ski program at Ski Santa Fe. And tonight at 6 and 8:30 p.m. over at Cinema Cafe, which is probably the most underutilized awesome building in the St. Michael's corridor.
I used to go there to watch movies all the time.
Me too. Well, they usually always do these adaptive ski program fundraisers there every year. I think it's always the first week of November. They bring in a ski film. They have raffles. You can buy really cool ski equipment or win really cool ski equipment. At any rate, tonight at 6 and 8:30 p.m. over there at Cinema Cafe on St. Michael's Drive, they're screening Superheroes of Stoke. It's going to be rad.
It's like so awesome.
Right. Ticket sales are going to benefit the adaptive ski program, which is really, really cool. And they always give away really great stuff. And it's kind of a way for all the powderheads to get together before the season starts and talk about where the snow is and, you know, what they're going to do and what they're looking forward to. So I just kind of sit and watch it all happen.
That sounds like fun.
I'm alone during the winter anyway, so that's happened, you know.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because you've got a ski addict living in the house.
I've got a ski bum for a partner, yes, indeed. But also today begins the Recycle Santa Fe Art Festival.
Nice.
Yeah. And that's a three-day festival. Starts tonight with a trash fashion show and costume contest. And I believe there's going to be a bottle top mandala construction project by the Santa Fe School for the Arts and Sciences. And that's over at the Santa Fe Community Convention Center. Things get started tonight at 5 p.m., run through 9. And then you got to pay tonight, but Saturday and Sunday over there at the Community Convention Center, it's no charge.
We like it.
So you can go in and find recycled gifts and you know.
And while you're there, check out the art gallery, The Fine Folk of New Mexico.
Yes.
In the community gallery.
I'm hearing really good things about that,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, me too.
So someday recycled art will all be folk art, because that will all be all that's left.
Maybe it'll be fine art.
Yeah.
Because it's really all that's left.
Yeah. Exactly.
And what's the difference anyway? Saturday, November 3rd, from 10 to 2 at the Women's Club of Santa Fe, Casa Milagro will be holding a silent auction art and gift sale. All proceeds will go to the residents of Casa Milagro, which is a home for mentally ill adults. There will be great deals and gift certificates and art and Frito pies and music and much more. Women's Club of Santa Fe.
Sweet. There's a bevy of openings today. Eggman and Walrus is having one for John Barker, who's got an exhibit called Paint Forward. And there's a reception there from 5 to 9 p.m. And that's down there on West Palace Avenue. Have you been into Eggman and Walrus?
Not yet. I hear it's really nice.
It's a pretty cool space.
Yeah.
But it's easier to find if you go through Palace Avenue, go down Palace Avenue, right there before the Palace Restaurant and Saloon. You can see the entrance on your left.
Lisa Gill, who is a marvelous poet, amazing poet, is going to be at 2 o'clock on Sunday in the New Mexico History Museum Auditorium, and she'll be reading from her book, Red as a Lotus, Letters to a Dead Trappist, and it's interspersed with portions of the film Compassion Rising, which is an outgrowth of the 1968 meeting between the Dalai Lama and Thomas Merton. And as part of the programming series for the exhibits Illuminating the Word, the St. John's Bible, and Contemplative Landscape, and it's free with admission. Sundays are free to New Mexico residents, so it's a free thing.
Neato. Hey, is today Day of the Dead? I get so confused on this.
Yeah.
Or is it like between November 1st and November 2nd?
I can find that information out.
At any rate, there's a lot of Day of the Dead events that are happening today. One of them is down at Pop Gallery on Marcy Street. Or no, Lincoln Avenue, I'm sorry, is what they name themselves. But it's at the corner of basically Lincoln and Marcy. And they're having this event. Photographer Robert Everett has this skeleton that he calls Moors, M-O-R-S. And you can go down to the gallery between 5 and 7 tonight and have your photo taken with this skeleton and all kinds of weird, you know, poses and stuff. And
it's November 1st and 2nd.
Yeah.
That's kind of what the confusion is.
Well, I know like a lot of the processions happen on the 1st and the 2nd, so I think it's like that witching hour thing.
Mm-hmm.
But if you go to Pop Gallery down there at 142 Lincoln Avenue, you can have your photo taken with Moors, and of course if you want to pick one up, you can buy one. Costumes are encouraged, and you can view an exhibit that's there online at popsantafe.com. But that's a cool sort of bring the family Day of the Dead event.
And there is another event. I got a note from Jenny Higginbotham, who is a roller derby gal, and she has an exhibition called The Travels and Delusions of Overly Enthusiastic Jenny Dogs, a narrative exhibition by Jenny Higginbotham. It's at the Plaza Galleria at 66 through 70 East San Francisco Street. It's number 8A. And there's a reception today from 4 to 6. And there will be a closing gallery also in December.
Neato.
Yeah, it has dogs in it, so I read it.
Oh, okay. Thank you for thinking of the puppies. What about LunaFest? Did we talk about that yet?
No.
It's short films by, for, and about women. It's the 11th Annual National Touring Film Festival. There's a panel discussion on Saturday at 4 p.m. and a screening at 4:45 p.m., and that's at the Center for Contemporary Arts. Let's see. Proceeds benefit the Breast Cancer Fund and Girls, Inc. of Santa Fe, which
nice.
Is pretty cool. So you can call 982-2042 to find out more about that. But that's going to be a neat film fest, too. Lots of filmy things happening that are related to other things besides just watching a movie.
Yeah, and just coming off the Santa Fe Independent Film Festival and then heading toward the Santa Fe Film Festival.
Oh, my gosh. I know. It's one where it's a lot of film.
A lot of film. It's a wonderful, both of them wonderful things, all of them wonderful. And CCA, Screen, and then our other many movie theaters. Okay, book signing exhibition and artist talk with photographer Sharon Kaur at Radius Books, 227 East Palace Avenue, Suite W in downtown Santa Fe, is tomorrow from 4 to 6 in the afternoon. You can go to radiusbooks.org for more information.
Neat.
Yep.
Neato. Hey, there's this guy, and I'm going to totally mangle his name, and I'm sorry for it. I'm going to apologize straight up front. His name is Mark Feigenbutz, and he's a he's in the creative writing department at the Santa Fe University of Art and Design. And he also does this sort of strange, absurdist stand-up routine. And he's got this show called Himself in Black and Blank, an altered state of comedy. And he's performing, let's see, 7 p.m. Saturday at the Santa Fe Playhouse.
Very nice.
And there's no charge, but, you know, to support the Playhouse, you know, you might want to kick a few bucks in donations.
Nothing wrong with donations.
For community theater. Always a good idea. And what else? Oh, the High Mayhem Emerging Arts is starting their fall series today.
Okay.
They've for those who were following the fall series and then stopped following it, they changed the opening date from yesterday to today so that they could get certain bands on the bill, I believe. So tonight is electroacoustic night over there, and that's High Mayhem Studios on Siler Lane. We've got Black Iron Trio, Go-Go Snap Radio, The Proxemics, and my favorite band name, Pray for Brain. Which
that's a zombie.
Yeah, no, it's actually these guys do kind of a mashup of polka, surf music, jazz. It's very interesting. If you go to highmayhem.org, you can listen to samples by all of these bands. And there is a small cover to get in, but it's an all ages show, and the series continues for weeks.
Excellent.
So if you go to highmayhem.org, you can find out more, and you can read about tonight's performances in Soundwaves.
And I got a note from Santa Fe Pro Musica, which
yes.
is telling us that the Fall Classic Weekend Recital with Per Tengstrand, pianist, is today at 7:30 at the Lenzic.
Mm-hmm.
And then,
there's
let's
more.
See.
There.
Yeah.
Saturday.
Oh, Saturday at 6 and Sunday at 3.
Yep.
The Fall Classic Weekend Concerto.
Yeah, we've got...
With Santa Fe Pro Musica and Per Tengstrand.
Exactly. Music of Schubert and a bunch of others. If you go to ticketsantafe.org, you can find out what those ticket prices are and basically what's going to be played.
And you can call 988-1234.
And I believe there's pre-concert talks on both Saturday and Sunday that are at no extra charge to ticket holders.
Excellent.
So you can check that as well. What else is going on?
Wade Wilson Fine Art, opening for Zachariah Rieke, a solo exhibition featuring new paintings. And that runs through January. Wade Wilson Art on Canyon Road somewhere. Early on Canyon Road.
Early on Canyon Road?
It doesn't say the address here.
Lower Canyon Road, maybe?
Yeah, Lower Canyon Road.
Not.
Oh, yeah. Okay. 409 Canyon Road.
Okay.
And wadewilsonart.com.
Hey, here's a neat idea. Students from the New Mexico School for the Arts are going to perform an outdoor dance at the Cross of the Martyrs Memorial on Sunday at 3. And it's called All at Once. This would be a great sort of photo op video thing. They're doing a lot of stuff like this up there at the Cross of the Martyrs lately, whether it's the New Mexico School for the Arts or what, but this is a great way to support younger folks trying to break into dance, theater, music, whatnot. Show up. There's no charge, of course. It's an outdoor concert. You know, there's no beer garden.
Right.
It is the Cross of the Martyrs, by the way. So that starts at 3 p.m. on Sunday. And also, you already talked about Lisa Gill, right?
Yes.
Yes, you did. Oh, the Friends of Archaeology are having their holiday party also on Sunday. And that's from 3 to 6 p.m. at the Hotel Santa Fe. And you can learn about what kind of digs are going on here in New Mexico. There's a Southwestern buffet, and there's a silent auction. And, of course, you have to buy tickets. If you call 982-6366, extension 100, you can find out more information and figure out how you can become a member of the Friends of Archaeology.
Excellent. And Sonia of Disappear Fear will be at Santa Fe Soul Bar and Grill with special guest Indigifem today at 7:30, and that's at 37 Fireplace in Santa Fe.
That's right. And they're actually playing again in Albuquerque on Saturday at the Outpost Performance Space at 7:30. And that's going to be a neat show. There's something I really wanted to mention, and I can't remember what it was.
Well, let's see. Oh, I've already mentioned that. We're actually doing well because go ahead.
We're plowing through it. But there's a great talk on Wednesday the 7th at Photo Eye Bookstore from David Chickie and Gordon Stettinius. It's the founder of Radius Books and the founder of Candela Books and Gallery. And they're going to present a talk on photo book publishing, which is sort of one of the, you know, few bastions of paper publishing that hasn't been whittled away at.
Yeah, you can't look at photos on your Kindle or whatever.
Well, you can, but I mean,
it's not the same.
It's not the same. No, who's got a coffee table Kindle is what I'm saying.
There's an idea whose time has come.
You could just an entire coffee table that's a Kindle, and you could just flip through your table.
Right, and you put a piece of glass over it. Oh, no, that wouldn't work.
Don't give anybody any ideas. Wings for Hope's 27th annual Toys for Tots run is also on Sunday. Bikes and riders are going to meet on the plaza at 10 a.m. and ride to the Fraternal Order of Eagles at 12:30 on Sunday. Party and live music at the Fraternal Order of Eagles begins at 1 p.m. This is an adults-only event, but if you want to bring at least one new unwrapped toy and two containers of non-perishable food.
Excellent.
And there's a cover to get into the Fraternity Order of Eagles, but of course, it's a great cause. If you go to wingsforhope.com, you can find out more info about the ride and the mission.
Wild Earth Guardians and their partner Trap Free New Mexico are devoting their 6th annual Tree Huggers Bash to the issue of trapping. It will be a celebration of wildlife with good food, a chance to learn more about wildlife trapping, and an effort to ban wildlife, certain kinds of wildlife trapping, or perhaps all of it. Anyway, you are cordially invited to share in the festivities. It's at the Grove Cafe and Market at 600 Central Avenue in Albuquerque on Thursday from 6 to 9 in the evening. And you can go to trapfreenm.org for more information.
Trapfreenm?
Yep.
.org.
Yeah, I don't get so many Albuquerque events in email, but Wild Earth Guardians is a great friend of this show, and they do wonderful work.
Absolutely. There's a great story in today's PASA about the Parkington sisters, who sort of do this acoustic experimental folk thing. And they are performing at 7:30 p.m. on Thursday at Gig Performance Space over there on 2nd Street.
Excellent.
And there's a story on page 24. And there's a ticket price at the door. If you go to gigsantafe.com, you can find out about ticket prices. There was something else going on at Gig, actually on, I believe it's Saturday. Oh, here it is. Saturday the 3rd at 7:30 p.m., Songwriters Picking on Each Other, Volume 2. David Berkeley and Jamie Michaels and John O'Manson at 7:30 p.m., and this is a great series. I believe this is the second in the series, Rob. That's why they're calling it Volume 2.
Right.
And so I heard great things about the first one. The second one is coming up on Saturday at 7:30 p.m. at Gig, gigsantafe.com for ticket information. That's going to be cool.
Historian Thomas E. Chavez speaks about and signs copies of his new book, A Moment in Time, The Odyssey of New Mexico's Segesser Hyde Paintings. And that's an anthology that includes 14 articles by prominent scholars, and the event is happening at 2 o'clock on Saturday, tomorrow, in the New Mexico History Museum Auditorium. And it's free with admission, and that should be very, very interesting.
We'd be remiss if we didn't mention that TEDx is coming to Santa Fe, right?
It is oh-so sold out.
It is oh-so sold out. But it's called TEDx Acequia Madre, and they have a cool list of presentations. Did you see the Onion satire of TEDx?
No.
You have to just Google it. I'm not going to say much. Just TEDx the Onion, and just you know.
I will.
When you have a moment in a cup of tea, just revel in it, because it's worth it. There's a bunch of concerts going on out at Santa Fe Soul, including Guy Forsythe, who's an Americana singer-songwriter. That's on Saturday at 7:30.
And then Bobby Shue and John Prue a Henry Mancini tribute on November 3rd. I guess that's tomorrow at Nahalat Shalom in Albuquerque. And then on Sunday at the Santa Fe Spiritual Center for Spiritual Living on Camino de los Marques at 4 in the afternoon on Sunday.
Neato.
Yep.
What else? Oh, Adventures with Tony Hillerman is on Thursday the 8th. I don't think we talked about this.
Oh, go for it.
It's an illustrated talk and book signing with author Ann Hillerman and photographer Don Strell. 7 p.m. on Thursday at Hotel Santa Fe. There's no charge for this event. You should call 471-1565. You can find out more information about it. I believe that the Hillerman Writers Conference is the following week, isn't it? Isn't that coming up?
That is coming up, isn't it?
Or next Friday or next Saturday. It's next week anyway.
Okay.
It's coming up close. So this is sort of a precursor to that, I believe. Oh, no, here it is. No, actually, the Word Harvest 2012 Tony Hillerman Writers Conference, right, on Thursday the 8th.
Thursday the 8th is when it starts. So it's a whole. It goes through the weekend.
Yeah, goes through the weekend. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and whatnot.
Excellent.
Yeah.
And
the Dixon Studio Tour.
Yes, go for it.
Let's see, it's the 31st Dixon Studio Tour. Dixon Studio Tour is actually one of the oldest studio tours in the state. And, I mean, 31 years is not bad. There's a sort of a group show celebrating the tour at 5:30 p.m. Friday the 2nd at the Tool Shed in Dixon. That's at New Mexico 75. And then the tour runs 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Saturday and Sunday, November 3rd and 4th. If you go to dixonarts.org, you can get maps. You can find out which artists are participating, lodging, all that good stuff.
And
it's just not the same without the Dixon Apple Orchard.
Yeah, well, the movie Samsara continues, speaking of the life and death of all things.
Yes.
Continues at the CCA, and showings happen all throughout the day, every day. And then Searching for Sugar Man, which is a wonderful documentary. Have you seen that?
Mm-hmm.
Did you like it?
Yeah. I took it home and watched it.
I really liked it. They made me send it back. It was one of those screeners that I wanted to keep.
Yeah.
But that is also happening at the CCA. And then the movie All Together opens tomorrow, and it's a French film, apparently a wry charmer with poignant undertones. And what else? That's what's happening at the CCA. There's some nice stuff opening, but we'll talk about it next week.
Yeah, we've got Sister, sort of a creepy drama opening at the Scream, but Jennifer Levin gave it 4 chilies, and quite frankly, it deserves 4 chilies.
Excellent.
Because she knows what she's talking about. It's a great story about this kid who is very troubled, and he just wants to be loved, but at the ski resort, and he likes to steal skis and ski equipment.
He's very bad.
It's a foreign language film, and it's very, very good, and it's opening today.
Well, it's just about time to go, and I want to thank you very much for being with us here on the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. Rob DeWalt, who is with the Pasa Tiempo Friday Arts Magazine in the Santa Fe, New Mexican.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of the arts. So
join us on Twitter at PasaTweet.
Oh, okay. Yeah. At PasaTweet.
Uh-huh. Or a Facebook page.
Which is?
Just search for Pasa Tiempo.
Search for Pasa Tiempo. And you can find my Facebook page, which is facebook.com/RadioCafeMC. Because the regular one filled up. You're only allowed to have a certain number of...
Yeah.
Friends, and I haven't figured out the other kind of
that
pages.
Means she's going to start tweeting like a mad dog now. That's a joke.
Yeah. I'm going to try to get somebody to tweet, but I haven't figured out. What's the value of tweeting?
You need a twit assistant.
I need a twit assistant. All right.